In 1873, a book came out that was written by Jules Verne. And it was around the world in 80 days. And it was pretty much a story about an English gentleman, Phineas Fogg, of London. And he had a newly employed French valet, Passepartout. And their attempt to circumnavigate the world in 80 days because of a 20,000 pound wager that was made by his friends at the Reform Club. And the story starts in London, and as I've shown here on the map, he's going to go east and circumnavigate the world in 80 days. And the reason that was possible, because now there were trains and steamers that could take him from place to place. And he figured that he could use the rail and the steamer to get to the Suez in 7 days, and then from Suez to Bombay on a steamer in 13 days, and Bombay to Calcutta. This was this new railroad that was now completed. That would take 3 days, and then another steamer and another steamer, and eventually he could cross the United States by rail, and so that was new, and then eventually take a steamer and rail to get to London. Total of 80 days. Now, I didn't read the book, but I did see the movie. And I get a lot of smiles, and so this was a Disney movie. It was Jackie Chan playing a Frenchman. Now, that's funny right there. And I'm not so sure how true to the book it is, but most movies are not true to the books. And so they're just entertainment, and certainly it was an entertaining book. Well, today, of course, it's not difficult to travel around the world, and it doesn't take 80 days. I have never done it. But I'm sure there might be some here. Certainly if Wally was here, I suspect he has done it. In 2002, Steve Fawcett did it in a balloon, and it took him 14 days. And in 2005, Steve Fawcett did it in a single-engine jet, solo, in 67 hours. And now the space station, 93 minutes, goes around there, 93 minutes, and the International Space Station, a little faster, 91 minutes. All right. So, not 80 days anymore. Well, there was a survey made of Churches of Christ, like us, conservative Churches of Christ. And the survey asked how many read their Bibles every day. How many people here, you think, read their Bibles every day? If I were to take a survey, I wonder what the number would be. Raise your hand if you think it would be 100%. No hands. 75%. Still no hands. 50%. Got a few hands. All right, getting a few hands. Good, good. 25%. More hands. 0%. Never read the Bible at all. Of course, you're not going to raise your hand. Okay. Well, it turns out the answer for consistent daily Bible reading for Churches of Christ is about 25%. So we saw hands in the 25 to 50% range. And I think I've arranged my life now such that I have Bible studies and the TV program and a bunch of things that kind of just force me. And I teach classes and Wednesday, so we're here Sunday and we're here Wednesday. We got two days covered right there, right? And then the TV show's Monday and we got a Bible study Tuesday night, and so we just have to just fill in a few nights and so I got it covered. Not a problem, but it's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where I take a certain part of my day and sit down to read and study the Bible. How about this? How about reading the newspaper? You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you think people here read the newspaper every day? How about watching television every day? How about email every day? How about going on the internet every day? I'm sure a lot of us here would have to say, yeah, we do it every day, 100% of the time. What about food? Read Randy's bulletin. What about food? How many people eat every day? I think if I ask my, do you eat every day? I think you do. Most of us try to eat 3 times a day. Okay, so that's certainly, we need for our bodies, as Randy says, you know, we God put that in us. We need to physically take care of ourselves and have that nourishment. We do that. Well, what about the spiritual food that Jesus talked about when he was tempted? He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When the devil tempted Jesus, every time he answered the temptation, he answered with a scripture. I wonder if every time we're tempted, a scripture pops into our head. You know? Because we're told there's no temptation that we're going to face that God hasn't provided a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But that escape is in the book. You have to know what's there. Why did I talk about it 80 days around the world? What's that got to do with anything? That was to get your attention. Because I think what we ought to do is challenge ourselves with what I want to call a 90-day challenge. And I didn't dream this idea up. I happened to read an article in a magazine about it, but I like it. And that's why I'm talking about it. 90 days. It turns out, if you count the number of days in January, February, and March of 2010, it's 90 days. And what I want us to do is commit to reading the Bible in 90 days. Wow. We got a reading program that, and it's back on the bulletin board there, track rack. Read the Bible in a year. Read 5 days a week. Read the Bible in a year. And many of us have done that. I'm talking 90 days. Well, I'm going to talk about reading the New Testament in 90 days. Okay? We're going to read the New Testament in 90 days. So does that sound possible? I can read the whole Bible in a year. Let's see if we can read the New Testament in 90 days. How are we going to do that? Well, first of all, we're going to provide all of us with a New Testament. There's a box in the back of the room. There's 100 copies of the New Testament. Here's what they look like. Pick one up. Take it with you. It's yours. It's inexpensive. Paperback. Take it everywhere with you. I'm going to provide this with you. It's the English Standard Version. Talk about that in a minute. And the reason I'm using this one, it's a 2001 translation. It is a literal word-for-word translation. And maybe you don't have one. I know some of us have one. I have one. I know Juan has one. And there's a few people that have it. But most of us have used other translations. New King James, very good. A lot of good translations out there. And so what this will do, because the words are a little bit different, it'll be fresh. And so that's another reason I've selected this for our 90-day challenge. Okay. Well, if you look in here, you're going to find that the New Testament covers 209 pages. And there's 13 weeks in the 3 months, 13 weeks and a quarter. And so that means you got to read 16 pages a week if you want to get through this 209-page New Testament in those 3 months, in those 90 days. I sat down and read a couple of pages out loud, not hurrying, and it took me 5 minutes to read one page. So my estimate, it's going to take us about 15 minutes to read 3 pages. A lot of you can read faster, a lot of you will read slower, so this is a good number. And I'm not a speed reader. It's going to take me 15 minutes to read 3 pages, whether I read out loud or to myself. Because when I read to myself, I just read to myself. I'm still reading out loud to myself. So 5 or 6 days a week, if we do that, you're going to read anywhere between 15 and 18 pages a week. So that ought to cover the average that we need of 16 pages a week. Some weeks, maybe you only read 15. Other weeks, maybe you read 18. And so we're going to get there. We're going to get to the end that way. And my suggestion is read it out loud. And read it out loud with your family. And that's why, you know, take one of these for every member of your family that can read. Read along with you. Everybody will be looking at the same words. You can even pass it around. Take the book with you. You know, it's our sword. Take it with you. Would you go out to battle without your sword? Take the sword with you. Take it. Read it during coffee break, lunch break, work, at work, when you're commuting, etc., etc. Be surprised. People might say, oh, so you're reading the book. So engage in a conversation that way. Frank already read for us what Moses instructed the people of Israel. That the words that God had given Moses, they were to teach to their children day and night, every day. They were to write it down on their doorposts so that they'd be familiar with what God had said to Moses, through Moses, to the people of Israel. As we said already, Jesus, when he was tempted, used Scripture to deal with the temptations that Satan, that the devil was presenting to him. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Ethiopian eunuch, as we read the book of Acts, was going along, and what was he doing? Well, it says, so he, Philip, one of the evangelists, one of the deacons selected in Jerusalem, he got up and he went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he'd come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. So he was filling his time when he was traveling from Jerusalem to Ethiopia reading Scripture. The Bereans are praised for their daily reading of Scriptures when Paul spoke to them. It says, and the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Daily reading of the Scriptures. Daily examining what Paul was saying. Is he talking about what God said, or is he just making it up? Is it man's wisdom or God's wisdom that's being portrayed to them? Roger Shouse wrote an article several years ago, and I would like to quote what he had to say about reading. He said, reading is such a wonderful gift. God saw the value of it as he has his message preserved in written records. Words can be studied. They can be memorized. They can be reflected upon. They can be quoted through words, emotions, actions, and consequences can be seen. Many do not like to read. That is a shame. Some spend a lot of time reading things that do nothing for them spiritually. No matter how great the book is, nothing should replace the reading of God's Word. This should come first in our lives. Our eyes can be open as we spend time looking at what God has written. Make it a regular practice to read your Bible. It will make a difference in your life. good words. Why read the Bible? Well, one reason to read the Bible is what Jesus told us about the Bible. It has the truth. It has God's revelation to us. God doesn't lie. What he says is the truth. And in John chapter 8 and also John chapter 17, we can read what Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." If we want to be disciples of Jesus, we have to know his word, and we have to live his word. And that word and living that word will make us free. And Jesus says, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." The word of God is the truth. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "The sum of all your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting." When we read the truth, when we read the Bible, we're going to read about God's plan of salvation. And when Paul penned these words, before that time, God had not revealed his complete revelation. A lot of things were still unknown. That's the word mystery there. Things were unknown. But now that mystery, God's complete plan of salvation for us, is now known. And Paul said in Ephesians 3, he said, "For that reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief." But referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. And so as we read our Bibles, we understand the mystery of Christ. And finally, Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Paul's telling us here that the words that are in the Bible, that are in the Scriptures, are words from God. God using the Holy Spirit to reveal them to us. And so we have the thoughts, we have the mind of God revealed to us in words, where we've combined now those spiritual thoughts in words that we can read. And so that's why it's a good reason, that's one good reason why we should be reading our Bibles daily. Another reason, of course, is to keep us on track, to keep us from drifting away from the Word. I don't know about you, but I mention this often. As I get older, I get forgetful. Things that I knew very well in earlier parts of my life, I'm not so sure I know them now. And so I have to keep, as I say, my bucket filling up. I have to keep putting stuff in my bucket, and my bucket has a hole in it, and the hole keeps getting bigger. And so I have to work a lot harder to keep the bucket full. And so this will keep us drifting away from the Word. The Hebrew writer said this: "For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we've heard so that we do not drift away from it." And we need to read it so we use it properly. Sometimes we think we remember what God has said, but we sort of embellish on it, and we actually sometimes get it wrong. And so by continued reading and by sometimes using a different translation, which points it and brings it to us in a fresh translation, we can properly use the Word of God. And Paul again said to be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of truth. truth. And finally, we need to be able to remember God's word so that we can teach it to others and we can teach it accurately. And Paul told Timothy, all things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who'll be able to teach others. And the Hebrew writer said, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. And that's what happens. Over time, you forget the details. You might remember some of the fundamental principles, but you forget the details. And somebody said something about the details. The devil is in the details or something like that. There's an expression along those lines. So details are important. All right, so we have a challenge in front of us. And the reward is going to be, it's going to change our lives. It is. We want you to take your New Testament with you everywhere. It'll have an impact on you. It'll have an impact on people who see you. And maybe you'll have opportunities to share the gospel with others. You can read it in public places. You can read it with your family. And, you know, it's one thing just to read it, but we need to make application. We need to read it and think about it. As Roger said, you know, words can affect our emotions. Words can motivate us. We need to read it expecting that it's going to make some changes in our lives. And it's going to affect our relationships with our family, with our friends, with people we work with, how we speak, how we think. You know, Jesus was saying, what's important is change how you think. It'll change how we interact with our government. It'll interact how we interact with our enemies and just many other areas of our life. So I throw this out to you. January 1, let's start reading the New Testament every day. 3 pages a day, at least 5 to 6 days a week. And in 90 days, we will have all read the New Testament. And that'll be neat. That'll be great. Well, that's the lesson for tonight. And we always take an opportunity to share the gospel with anyone who's here tonight that has not yet put on Jesus in baptism. We have water. You need to repent of your sin. You need to believe in Jesus, that he is the Son of God. He's the Savior that was part of God's plan of salvation. You need to be willing to confess Jesus before men, to repent of your sins, and then to be immersed in water to have your sins washed away. And so if you haven't obeyed the gospel, good time to do it tonight. I think the water's pretty warm, so it will not. You don't have to go chip any water off a lake or dunk in the Merrimack River. A lot of people have done that. But we have a warm baptistry here. If you've already, you are a Christian, but there's some things that you have done that you'd like us to help you with, we'd be more than happy to pray for you. And just let us know as we now stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected.